Jelly Roll Morton. I stood on the corner, my feet was dripping wet. I asked every man I met, can't give me a dollar, give me a lousy dime, just to feed that hungry man of mine. Jelly Roll Blues, quoted above, was composed by Jelly Roll Morton in 1902. But another 13 years would pass before it became the first jazz composition ever published. It's fitting that this chronicle of profiles begins with an African American. With the genres this book covers, it's of vital importance to recognize the contributions from black musicians, the creators of ragtime, the blues, jazz, gospel, and even rock and roll. A product of New Orleans, Ferdinand Joseph LaMothe, professionally known as Jelly Roll Morton, was a braggart. It is evidently known, beyond contradiction, that New Orleans is the cradle of jazz, Morton wrote in 1938, and I myself happened to be its creator in the year 1902. His kind of music was long out of fashion when he made this pronouncement, and to many of those who knew Morton, it seemed just the latest in a lifelong series of outrageous boasts. Jazz had no single creator, of course, but Morton was in fact among the first to play jazz, its first theorist and composer, the first to write it down, and by doing so, among the first to help spread New Orleans music across the country. A colorful and opinionated egocentric, Morton was also a genius. He brought all brands of music to everything he played, ragtime and blues, French and Italian operatic airs, Spanish popular songs and dances, and a new kind of syncopation that he inherited from his New Orleans upbringing. The son of racially mixed Creole parents, he was part African, French, and Spanish, eventually adopting the last name of his stepfather, Morton. He said about his city, "We had all nations in New Orleans, but with music, we could creep in close to other people."
You ain't that boy for the wild men get you.
Among Morton's most popular songs were King Porter's Stomp, Grandpa's Spells, Wolverine Blues, The Pearls, Black Bottom Stomp, and Wild Man Blues. During the time of his greatest success, however, he felt that he never received his just reward, saying, "I've been robbed of $3 million, all told. Everyone today is playing my stuff, and I don't even get credit. Kansas City style, Chicago style, New Orleans style, hell, they're all playing Jelly Roll style." During his lifetime, there was no such thing as royalty checks. To best understand Jelly Roll Morton, the New Orleans music need be understood. Music was everywhere, the city teeming with musical instruments and players, including an array of concert, dance, and funeral bands parading up and down city streets. There was also Storyville, the wide-open vice district where musicians were black, as were the crowds who flocked into the area. Within this atmosphere, Morton later recalled, "We always had some kind of musical instrument in the house, including guitar, drums, piano, and trombone." At the age of 7, he was already good enough at guitar to play for dances in a string trio. A few years later, he was singing in a quartet that specialized in performing spirituals at wakes. By this time, his trombone-playing father disappeared. At age 14, his mother died, and he and his two sisters moved in with relatives. He began venturing into Storyville, finding work in the brothels as a pianist, where he earned the nickname Jelly Roll. Morton's talent as a musician quickly became apparent, enabling him to earn $20 a night. When he bought a showy new suit and hat, his true source of income was discovered, prompting his grandmother to throw him out of the house. His banishment placed him on the road, thereby jump-starting his career. everywhere Morton went, New Orleans went with him, even though he often played with musicians who knew nothing about the music he brought. He was continually writing down on paper the parts that pickup bands needed to follow in order to play with him. "I found most of them had to be taught," he said, "so I began writing down this peculiar form of harmonics and mathematics that was strange to all the world." He arrived in Los Angeles in 1917, where he remained for 5 years before departing for the hotbed of jazz, Chicago. This would prove to be another 5-year tenure, but this time his high-flying compositions put him at his productive peak. His 1923-24 recordings of piano solos established his style and brilliance. It was his work with the Red Hot Peppers that set him apart. Bringing on board a wide array of Chicago's top sidemen, Jelly Roll's work was comparable to the innovations by Louis Armstrong with his Hot 5 and Hot 7 bands. Music historian David McGee said, "What Elvis Presley's Sun recordings are to rock and roll, the Red Hot Peppers' canon is to jazz." Morton said his songs, now considered to be among the great classics of jazz, are to be played sweet, soft, plenty of rhythm. But with success came belligerence. His confidence, or cockiness, was ever present. On a personal level, he's been described as just about the most colorful, flamboyant, and exasperating personality imaginable. He had running feuds with W.C. Handy and Paul Whiteman, the former credited with being the father of the blues, the latter's title being the king of jazz. Morton vigorously claimed both distinctions. In 1928, Morton left Chicago for New York City, the jazz age's new Mecca. His move this time seemed to hurt him. While remaining true to his New Orleans roots, his music came to be regarded as old-fashioned within the industry. His RCA Victor contract ended in 1930, and not having the temperament to work as a sideman, he struggled to earn a living during the bleak years of the Depression. In 1935, he headed for Washington, D.C., where he became the main attraction at the Jungle Inn nightclub. Then came posterity. AllMusic's Scott Yanow elaborates. In 1938, Alan Lomax recorded him in an extensive series of musical interviews for the Library of Congress. His storytelling was colorful, and his piano playing in generally fine form as he reminisced about old New Orleans and his travels.
So he asked me, who was I? And I stated to him, I was Sweet Papa Jelly Roll with the stovepipes in my hips, and all the women in town was dying to turn my damper down.
What do you mean by saying you had stovepipes in your head?
Well, stovepipes, I don't know. It was one of these kind of a things, you know, very warm, hot hips. So the people automatically named it. But my original title...
A decade later, the results would be released in album form. A year following the interviews, an attacker stabbed Morton 2 times during an incident at the Jungle Inn. Never fully recovered from the stabbing, he moved back to California, where he hoped to find some relief in the warmer climate. He died in 1941 at age 56. At his funeral, no music was played, and he was buried in a pauper's grave. The name Jelly Roll Morton was largely forgotten, ignored, or even mocked in the jazz world. As happens, following death comes fame. With the introduction in 1950 of long-playing 12-inch records, his music once again became popular. Beginning with New Orleans Memories, there have been nearly 200 remastered LPs, including numerous box set editions of his classic works. Nearly every major record company, including Sony, Verve, RCA, Time Life Music, and Smithsonian Folkways Recordings, have put forth versions of his masterworks. This outpouring continues to this day. Now considered to be a cornerstone of jazz and a giant of African-American music, Morton's legacy is enduring. Full of personality, his life and musical career became the topic of a Broadway production in the 1990s called Jelly's Last Jam, featuring Gregory Hines. He was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 1998 and honored with a Grammy Lifetime Achievement Award in 2005, underscoring the far-ranging impact of his influence as a musician. Jelly Roll Morton may have died a pauper, but his legacy is rich.